ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 13 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड ब्रह्मा स्टीलिंग द बॉयज एंड काव्स टेक्स्ट 17 क्वापि अदृष्ट्वा अंतः विपिने वत्सान् कालां च विश्ववित् सर्वं विधिकृतं कृष्णः सहसा वजगाम अपि एनीवेयर अदृष्ट्वा नॉट सीइंग एट ऑल अंतः विपिने within the forest, vatsan, the cows, palanscha, and their caretakers, the cowherd boys, Vishwavit, Krishna, is aware of everything going on throughout the whole cosmic manifestation, sarvam, everything, vidhikritam, was executed by Brahma. Krishna, Lord Krishna, sahasa, immediately, avajagamaha, could understand. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation, when Krishna was unable to find the cows and their caretakers, the cowherd boys, anywhere in the forest, he could suddenly understand that this was the work of Lord Brahma. Purport. Although Krishna is Vishwavit, the knower of everything happening in the entire cosmic manifestation, as an innocent child, he showed ignorance of Brahma's action. Although he could immediately understand that these were the doings of Brahma, this pastime is called Brahma Vimohana, the bewilderment of Brahma. Brahma was already bewildered by Krishna's activities as an innocent child, and now he would be further bewildered. Hare Krishna. So, seek blessings of Maharaj, Bhakti Brad Bhagavat Maharaj, under whom I was serving for a month here in Krishna Balram Temple in 2003 when he was the president. Panchagauda Prabhu, Shrita Kirti Prabhu. So, very interesting section of the Bhagavatam. And very historic for ISKCON because this was the last chapter Srila Prabhupada translated personally and gave purports to. And the Brahma Vimohan Leela, as Prabhupada mentions, bewilderment of Brahmaji. And Srila Prabhupada uses his experience to give such brilliant purports in this section. Vimohan basically means to get bewildered, and that's the basic difference between the Jiva Tattva and the Supreme Lord Krishna, because the Jiva has a tendency of being overwhelmed, come under the influence of the Lord's potency, material potency. In this case, Krishna is using his Yogamaya Shakti to perform this pastime in such a beautiful way that we get the lessons that however intelligent, influential, powerful we may be, we should always be aware that ultimately we are dependent on the Lord. We can never understand the Lord completely, and we should not try to exert our influence over the Lord. So, Bhagavat Bhaktitah Sarvam Iti Vitsrajya Udherapi Kainkarya Krishna Padaika Ashrayatvam Sharanagati. So the process of overcoming this bewilderment is the process of bhakti. Yaya sammohito jivo atmanam trigunatmakam. In the first canto of Bhagavatam, it is described how Vyasadeva in his meditation is seeing the bewilderment of the jiva, and the process of overcoming that bewilderment is the practice of bhakti. So today I'll discuss five principles which help the practicing devotee overcome the tendency of being bewildered. Even while practice of devotional service, sadhana bhakti, it's a long process, and so many experiences, challenges, difficulties we may go through which may make us completely bewildered. So the first principle is we have to appreciate the past. Whatever has happened, we should develop the ability to see things in proper perspective of Krishna consciousness. Tada tadaham ishasya bhaktanam sham abhipsada anugraha manyamana pratishtham dishamuttaram. Shripad Narad Muni demonstrates this. When at the age of 5 when his mother died, it was a very difficult period. He could have questioned, why this happened to me? I am totally helpless. The only shelter is lost. But he perceived the entire episode as bhaktanam sham abhipsata. Understood that Krishna is the well-wisher of his devotees. Anugraha manyamana. And he considered that to be the Lord's mercy upon him. Pratishtam dishamuttaram. And in this way, went towards the northern direction. When Nanda Maharaj meets Vasudev in Mathura for paying, when he comes to pay the taxes to Kamsa just after Nandotsav, the first thing which Vasudev, you know, speaks when he meets Nanda Maharaj is Dishtya Bhrata Prabhayasa Idanim Aprajasyate Prajashaya Nivrtasya Prajatad Samapadyata. So Vasudev is the person who has lost 6 sons and must be in so much of trauma. But when he meets Nanda Maharaj, he is more concerned about Krishna's welfare. And therefore he is not speaking about all the distresses he has gone through in the process of begetting Krishna. But he just is concerned about how is Krishna. And so he tells Nanda Maharaj, Dishtya Bhrata Prabhayasa Idanim Aprajasyate. Says, Nanda Maharaj, you are so fortunate, you were without a progeny for so long. Now, after such a long period, you have a progeny. So he uses the word praja, he doesn't use the word putra, because he knows that, you know, a daughter was born and he's the one who exchanged that. So he doesn't want to take the risk of even speaking a half-truth. So praja, praja, praja comes 3 times in this verse. Prajashaya nivrittasya prajatat samapadyata. So Vasudevji is described in the 10th canto as tatascha shauri bhagavat prachodita sutam samadaya cha sutika grihat. Shauri means one who is brave. So there is, you know, what is the reason why Vasudev is called shauri or brave? So in common terminology, someone who fights battles and defeats enemies and establishes a high position is considered brave. But Shukadeva Goswami is referring to Vasudev, who could not protect his wife and his position, and he could not provide even one single night of safety and security in a decent accommodation for his newly wedded wife, and could not protect 6 children. So from a Kshatriya's point of view, one was lost his position, one was lost, you know, his sampatti, his assets, must be considered a failed Kshatriya. It must be feeling extremely miserable for Vasudeva to have completely failed in his ability to protect. So why is such a person called Shauri or brave? Because we may consider loss of money to be something great, loss of assets to be something great, lot of loss of position, loss of name, fame and reputation, you know, loss of property. But the Bhagavatam is describing that the greatest loss is not loss of any of these things, but the greatest loss is loss of hope. And therefore, Vasudeva, in spite of having all opportunities to lose hope, did not lose hope. He was hopeful. And therefore, Vaishnava satsanga is created so that one can come and hear and chant the glories of the Lord and hear about such personalities who went through severe tribulations but never lost hope, seeing Krishna's hand in everything. And therefore, Vasudeva is such an example that he could have lost hope even after the death of one son, but he tolerated the death of 6 sons, and he still hoped that yes, as per the Lord's will, Krishna will appear. And so Srila Prabhupada makes a statement, I may be discouraged but not disappointed. When difficulties we go through, it may discourage us for some time, but that should not prevent us from trying again and making our efforts. So this is a very, very important point. When Prabhupada was in Kolkata in Sitakant Banerjee Lane, one of his godbrothers, Dol Govinda Shastri, was teaching Sanskrit on the first floor of that building to Gaudiya Math Brahmacharis. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada was sitting, and he was a grihastha, he was sitting and chanting on the side staircase. And then Dol Govinda Shastri came out and sat next to Srila Prabhupada and said, Abhay Babu, I was just giving a lecture on Prithviti Ache Jatu Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachara Goibe Muranam. And I was just thinking, Mahaprabhu has made this prediction that the holy name will spread all over the world, but I don't know how it's going to happen and who will make it happen. And Srila Prabhupada was chanting. He got up and took 2 steps down, turned and pointed to Dol Govinda Shastri and said, if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made that prediction, it will happen for sure one day. And then Prabhupada took further couple of steps down, turned to Dol Govinda Shastri and said, someday a fool who surrendered at the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will make it happen. And Prabhupada took 2 steps down further. And in that period, Dol Govinda Shastri started thinking, will that be me? Because he was also Saraswati Thakur's disciple. Prabhupada turned around and said, it will not be you. And at that time, he started thinking, how can Abhay Babu do that? He is only always contemplating about business, business and business. But Srila Prabhupada, you know, when he was in Keshavji Gaudiya Math, he had just taken sannyas and he was eating prasadam with some other godbrother. And a family just came up and they saw these 2 sannyasis honoring prasadam and they went away. Srila Prabhupada turned to his godbrother and said, this family, they are seeing 2 old men sitting and eating prasad. They do not know that the future of Lord Chaitanya's movement is in the hands of one of these old men. So Srila Prabhupada, he received the instruction in 1922, but he was always hopeful. that yes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission will be accomplished. And therefore, in spite of all the difficulties and challenges, he would always appreciate whatever he had received. He did not receive too much of association of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but he appreciated the essence of whatever association he received and utilized it fully. When Mahaprabhu took sannyas on 14th January 1510, and then he wanted to go to Vrindavan, that was his only mission. The only purpose, the only intention of Lord Chaitanya for taking sannyas was he wanted to spend the rest of his life in Vrindavan. And as soon as he set out for Vrindavan, Nityananda Prabhu, through a cowherd boy, diverted him to Shantipur. And when Mahaprabhu reached Shantipur, he saw the Ganga, he thought it is Yamuna. He asked Nityananda Prabhu, he said, yes, this is Yamuna. And Mahaprabhu jumped into that and he saw Advaita Acharya and he said, Advaita, I didn't know you will be here in Vrindavan. Advaita said, Mahaprabhu, this is Shantipur. So there at Advaita Acharya's house, Mahaprabhu, after sannyas, spent some more days. Every day was a festival, and that was specifically to relieve the pain of separation of all the Navadvip Vasis. There, Shachi Devi was there. And she was seeing Lord Chaitanya post sannyas for the first time. And she looked at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and she says, Kandiya kohe na shachi bachare nimai Vishwarupa samana koriha niturai. Oh my dear Nimai, please do not behave the way Vishwarup has behaved in the past. And what was his behavior? Sanyasi hoiya punah na dila darshan tumi taiche kaile mora hoibe maran. After taking sannyas, he never ever gave darshan to me. If you do like that, I will also die. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he sees the condition of Shachi Devi, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted the renounced order of life, and he demonstrates his renunciation by renouncing his plans. And instead of going towards Vrindavan, he accepts, because Mahaprabhu wants to settle in Vrindavan, Shachi Devi wants him to stay in Navadvip. So there is a conflict. And when there is such a conflict, only a dialogue can resolve that. And therefore, the result of that dialogue was both of them agreed that Lord Chaitanya would spend majority of his time in Jagannath Puri. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent almost 18 years from 1516 onwards to 1534 in Jagannath Puri. And Mahaprabhu never felt any regret. He just accepted that as the Lord's will. And in fact, only 5 years later, on Kartik Purnima 1515, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could actually enter Vrindavan, because second time he tried going via Bengal, and then Sanatan Goswami told him, Durgama Durlabase Nirjana Vrindavan Eka ki pai ma ki va sange ekajan. You cannot travel with so many millions of people. Vrindavan is a very rare place. And Mahaprabhu again abandoned that plan. So two times Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, could not fulfill his desire of going to Vrindavan. And then the third time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took along with him Balabhadra Bhattacharya. And when he came to Vrindavan along with Balabhadra Bhattacharya here, he just stayed for 2 months, and in that 2 months Balabhadra Bhattacharya became overwhelmed, because thousands of people would come to Akrur Ghat to invite Mahaprabhu for lunch, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be in Imli Tala chanting in bliss all day, and they would be pestering Balabhadra Bhattacharya that where is Lord Chaitanya, you are not allowing him to come. And so ultimately, after 2 months, Balabhadra Bhattacharya very honestly approaches Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is bliss personified. Balabhadra Bhattacharya approaches Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as anxiety personified. Being right next to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, still with anxiety. And he says that, my dear Lord, what is going on here? I think we should leave Vrindavan. We should go somewhere else. And Lord Chaitanya says, why should we leave? And he says, Pratah kala aise loka tomare na paaye, tomare na paaye loka mora matha khaye. Early in the morning, people come searching for you. When they can't find you, they put me in trouble, and I cannot tolerate this. And he says very honestly, Udvigna hoila prana sohite na pari. My mind is in full of anxiety serving you here in Vrindavan. So let us go from here and go to attend the Magh Mela. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no desire to leave Vrindavan. But still, yadyapi Vrindavan tyage nahi prabhurman, bhakta ichha purite prabhu kohi madhuram vachan. He had no desire to quit Vrindavan, but he went just so that he could please Balabhadra Bhattacharya. And he actually tells Balabhadra Bhattacharya, I really appreciate that you have taken the trouble to show me Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu says. So therefore, when we are in this mood of being grateful for whatever opportunities we have received, then we can always decrease our opportunities of being overwhelmed and being bewildered. So appreciate the past. Second, empower the potential. Each of us have a certain potential, certain ability. Each one of us has a certain ambition to serve Krishna and make a contribution and make a difference, please the Lord and the devotees. And so we find that Yashoda Mai, she is so absorbed in serving Krishna as a mother that when the Mrida Bhakshan Leela happens and she sees the entire universe within Krishna's mouth. Normally by seeing display of such kind of Aishwarya, one's Vatsalya would be overwhelmed. But Sadyo Nashta Smritir Gopi Saro Pyaro Hamatmajam Prabhrdha Sneha Kalilam Khurdayasit Yathapura. But Yashoda Mai's Vatsalya and her desire to serve Krishna and to protect Krishna was so strong that she forgot about that Aishwarya scene. And Hridayasit Yathapura, and the Vatsalya entered into her heart again just like before. And therefore this Paribhasha Sutra of the 10th canto comes in the next verse. Traya cha Upanishad bhischa Sankhya Yogaischa Sattvataihi Upagiyamana Mahatmyam Harirsa Amanyata Putraka. That all the Upanishads and the scriptures glorify Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but as far as Yashoda Mai is concerned, she considered Krishna to be her son only. Upagiyamana Mahatmyam. In spite of all of that glorification, she considered Krishna is my son. And therefore, she was totally absorbed in that mood. She knew whatever may be the situation, I have this opportunity to protect Krishna, to serve Krishna, to nourish Krishna. Nemam virincho na bhavo na shrir apyanga samshraya prasadele bhire gopi yattat prapya vimuktidat. That opportunity was given to Yashoda Mai, which Krishna did not give to anybody in the past. So therefore, each one of us receives various opportunities. But unless we have a grateful heart, unless we are conscious, we may miss the opportunity when it comes. And there are three things which prevent someone from reaching their potential. First is self-doubt. Second is we may give up too early. And third is we may not push hard enough. And so, when do things actually work? When are we able to actually accomplish or achieve or experience a semblance of our potential? When we decide to commit to something. Right? So if we do not commit to something, we will fall for anything. And so, what does this commitment mean? I am going to keep going till this works. Second, it does not matter what challenges come in the way. And third, one is persistent long enough to give oneself a chance to actually experience that potential. So, this is a very, very important phenomena that we have to keep making our efforts, putting our best efforts as far as whatever opportunities we have. And if we do not make those efforts, in due course of time, we will only be filled with regret. As Srila Prabhupada, when he was establishing Krishna consciousness all over the world, it is quite amazing. Today India has almost 2 million temples. But when Srila Prabhupada established temples, he established it outside of India, in different parts of the world, which was unheard of at that time. And devotees who had just been connected to Krishna consciousness were very young, and Srila Prabhupada gave them opportunities to worship the deities, to serve the deities, to experience the Panchanga Bhakti, because many Vaishnava Acharyas have given commentaries and have given a lot of opportunities for Sambandha Jnana. But what Srila Prabhupada did was, by creating the institution of ISKCON, he gave opportunities for devotees to immediately connect with the Abhideya, the practice, and experience that transformation. In one of the temples in New Zealand, Prabhupada was coming, and the devotees, they had very limited space to worship the deities. So they had Gaur Nithai, but they also wanted to worship Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. So they were very creative. So they made a revolving altar, where the altar would revolve, you know. So they kept Gaur Nithai in front and kept Jagannath Baldev Subhadra back to back. When Prabhupada came, he offered obeisances to Gaur Nithai. When he got up, he saw Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. So he said, "What is this, deities or rolling stone?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, creativity is fine, but there are some limits, you know." But Srila Prabhupada demonstrated 5 qualities of an excellent leader, because of which he was so successful. First of all, Srila Prabhupada was extremely humble. Second, he was, along with being humble, he was extremely enthusiastic. To manage both is sometimes not easy. Third, Srila Prabhupada appreciated all the devotees' efforts. Fourth, but Srila Prabhupada especially recognized those who made positive contributions. Those who excelled, he recognized them. And fifth, Srila Prabhupada gave creative freedom, allowed people to progress, to experiment, to make mistakes, and then Srila Prabhupada would always make sure that they are moving in the right direction. And so we find that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after leaving from Vrindavan, he spent some time at Prayag and spoke to Srila Rupa Goswami. Then he went to Varanasi, and for a couple of months he gave the Sanatan Shiksha. The topmost of the philosophy was heard by Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Shiksha in the Madhya Lila, right from chapters 21 to 25, because Adi Lila is 17 chapters, Mahaprabhu's 24 years in Navadvip. Madhya Lila is 6 years of Lord Chaitanya's travel to South India, to Bengal, to Vrindavan and Prayag and Varanasi and back is 6 years. But 6 years is described over 25 chapters in Madhya Lila. And Antya Lila is Mahaprabhu's last 18 years in Puri and that is 20 chapters. Out of which first 10 chapters, 11 chapters are the one where more pastimes of reciprocation and the last is Mahaprabhu's total absorption. So, Sanatan Shiksha, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Sanatan Goswami in great detail. So after hearing the highest philosophy, one may feel a person like this can never become bewildered in life. Lord Chaitanya has directly spoken 2 months continuously. But then Sanatan Goswami, when he is coming to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the way he gets some kind of a disease. And his health condition is so bad and he is all kind of pus is oozing from his skin. By Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's will, Sanatan Goswami becomes overwhelmed and he starts contemplating suicide. So he is not an ordinary person. He was the ex-prime minister of Bengal, right? So he's used to all kinds of, you know, conflicting situations, difficult challenges. Vidya bhakti buddhi bale parama praveen tabu apanaka mane trina hoitehin. And Mahaprabhu is impressed with Sanatan and Rupa not because of their vidya, bhakti, buddhi and bal but because of their humility. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is extremely impressed with their humility and he tells Rupa and Sanatan when he meets them in Ramakeli that taradainya dekhi shuni paashana bidare amatushta hoya tabe kohilu duhare. Mahaprabhu says, I am extremely pleased with you. Very soon Krishna will deliver you. So they have received Mahaprabhu's assurances of deliverance, of mercy. They have been empowered by Mahaprabhu. Sanatan Goswami has heard from directly Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the philosophy. But now, when he is in Jagannath Puri, in the presence of Lord Chaitanya and Namachari Haridas Thakur, you know, at Siddha Bakul, somehow Sanatan Goswami is in a totally bewildered state. And he is just, you know, contemplating, I am useless. I'm simply going to create trouble in this association here. I must give up my life. He is not speaking it, he is contemplating it within his mind so strongly. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, is able to understand this immediately. And Mahaprabhu, at that time, he doesn't speak philosophy to Sanatan Goswami. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing to Sanatan Goswami, yeah, he speaks that, you know, yes, as far as bhajanera madhya sreshta navavida bhakti, Krishna prema Krishna dite dhore mahashakti. You cannot attain Krishna by committing suicide. You can attain through bhajan, through bhakti. Taramadhye sarva sreshta nama sankirtan nirapradhe pai premadhan. Through nirapradha nama, you will actually attain prema. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives what Sanatan Goswami needs the most at that moment, care. Sanatan Goswami needs the touch of devotee care. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encourages him and shows him the future, because what he cannot see at that moment. Sanatan Goswami has at that moment suddenly become so overwhelmed by the present circumstances that he is unable to see his potential. And so even the most intelligent, politically savvy Sanatan Goswami, his bread and butter was politics in the past. He was total master and able to control the entire kingdom, but he lost control over his emotions. And at that time, even the best of physicians need another physician. And so Mahaprabhu tells him, Tomara sharira mora pradhana sadhan, e sharire sadhimu ami bahu prayojan. How can you contemplate committing suicide? Your body is going to be the main instrument through which I am going to accomplish my mission. And what is that? Bhakta bhakti krishna prema tatvera nirdhar vaishnavera kritya ara vaishnava achar. O Sanatan, in future you have to go to Brajbhumi Vrindavan and you have to explain for all the future generation of devotees what is bhakta, Vaishnava. Who is a Vaishnava? What is bhakti? What is Krishna prema tattva? Vaishnavera kritya, what are the duties of a Vaishnava? And what are the Vaishnava achar, principles of Vaishnava behavior? Apart from this, you being an ex-prime minister under the Muslim Nawab Hussain Shah, you are very uniquely privileged compared to Advaita Nityananda, who are coming from very simple background. Everybody can chant the holy names, but not everyone can deal with the power and the powerful. And therefore, you, O Sanatan, would be empowered to actually establish the collaboration between the Mughals and the Rajputs and the Gaudiyas in Vrindavan. And therefore, when Mahaprabhu visited Bangladesh, he instructed Tapan Mishra, you should go to Varanasi. Why? Because the head priests of Varanasi were the Rajpurohits of the Rajputs of Vrindavan. And therefore, after Tapan Mishra, when Mahaprabhu was instructing Sanatan Goswami every day, Raghunath Bhatta, the son of Tapan Mishra, was massaging Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. Mahaprabhu was preparing Raghunath Bhatta for the future mission. And therefore, this tripartite collaboration, coalition, was orchestrated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision through Sanatan Goswami and implemented via Jiva Goswami, using Raghunath Bhatta Goswami as the instrument. And therefore, all of these beautiful temples with stones which were reserved primarily for the main emperors at that time. But because Man Singh became the disciple of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and Todarmal, and all of them became extremely favorable, therefore all of this could happen. Krishna bhakti krishna prema seva pravartana lupta tirtha udhara ara vairagya shikshan. So Mahaprabhu tells Sanatan Goswami that you have to create temples which are Krishna bhakti krishna prema seva pravartan. These temples are places which, through demonstrating how to perform Krishna bhakti, will bring out Krishna prema hidden within the soul's heart. Krishna bhakti krishna prema seva pravartan and lupta tirtha udhar. O Sanatan, you have to actually establish the lost holy places of pilgrimage, which after the attack of Mahmud of Ghazni in 1000 AD, for the next 500 years were almost lost. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called by some of the scholars as the Columbus of Vrindavan, one who actually rediscovered all the holy places, and he wanted Sanatan Goswami to play that role. And therefore, patience basically has two definitions. First is the ability to bear pains or trials calmly without complaining. And second, to be steadfast despite opposition. difficulty or adversity. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was encouraging Sanatan Goswami that yes, things are difficult now, you have this disease, but you have to have patience, that the current circumstances do not exactly reveal what is possible in future. And therefore, you know, the five tips to improve our patience is, first, let us stop resisting and respond, then react. Second, we should meditate on the effects of impatience. Thirdly, we should look for the positive possibilities in the negative circumstances. Fourth, we should utilize whatever time is available with gratitude. And fifth, we have to befriend the situation. And that is something very, very important. This is the second, which is empower the potential, appreciate the past, empower the potential. Third is respect the differences. Respect the differences. Kuchailam malinam kshamam dvijam dhamani santatam devi paricharat sakshat chamarabhya janena vai. So when Krishna meets Sudamaji, both are totally different in terms of their current situation. But Sudamaji is going there simply to have darshan of Krishna, although his wife wants him to bring some prosperity. But Krishna offers his own asana and starts serving with great humility. And all the residents of Dwarka are bewildered. Who is this person? Kuchailam, whose clothes are not proper. Malinam is very dirty. Dvijam dhamani santatam. And all of his veins can be seen because of weakness of the body. He is emaciated. Devi paricharat sakshat, and Rukmini Devi herself is offering chamar. And so they started discussing, kim manena kritam punyam avadhutena bhikshuna shriya hinena lokesmin gurhitena adhamena cha. If someone is so extremely poor, poverty stricken, it means there cannot be piety. But if someone is being offered respect like this by Krishna, how can that person be without piety? So this was a contradiction they could not understand. And so, ultimately Krishna offered him some, you know, offered Sudama nice hospitality, place to stay, nice prasadam, discussed all the past. Krishna spoke about the time spent in Avanti, because Sudama started thinking, after seeing Krishna's elaborate reception, that Dwarkadhish, the king of Dwarka, is offering such royal reception for me, for someone who is so poverty stricken. And Sudama felt, I don't deserve this. Then Sudama got a doubt. Is it that Krishna was waiting for some other guest? And all the arrangements were made for some other guest, and I entered and looks like I had assembled that guest. And so there is a case of mistaken identity. So Krishna could sense that, and Krishna then spoke, no, no, I know who you are. We spent time together in Avanti, and then he spoke all of those pastimes. But then when Krishna, you know, bade him farewell, Sudamaji on the way back, he has come to get some, you know, some Lakshmi. All of us who do fundraising, we know. When you go to somebody, you expect something. And then if they host us, offer us nice prasadam, this and that, and then say, I want to offer you something wonderful. And then your, you know, heart is full of expectation, and say, my embrace. And then please go ahead. So we will still be thinking, oh no, he could have given so much. But Sudama does not have any of that regret. And it is said here that Sudamaji's heart was filled with joy. Shvobhote vishvabhavena swasukhe nabhivandita jagam swalayam tata patham anuvrajanandita. Why Sudama's heart was filled with bliss? Because in a Vaishnava community, we will experience joy not when we receive something, but when we receive these two experiences. What is that? When there are exchanges between devotees based on respect, and number two, love. When the Vaishnava exchanges are based on respect and love, that touches the heart. And therefore that 10th canto, 4th part cover of the Srimad Bhagavatam is a very important meditation on how we can actually keep the devotee Sangha satisfied. Krishna is sitting there in the mood of serving Sudamaji, offering respect, offering genuine love and service. So when our service is based on respect and love, that really touches the heart. So this is, a very important point. And so even in family, sometimes there may be physical incompatibility or quality or nature's incompatibility. Behavior and thinking may be different, but at the end of the day, we are all come here to serve Krishna. That is the one common factor. And so in the Adilila 8th chapter, when Kaviraj Goswami is explaining the background of how he is writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he is remembering the character of Srila Haridas Pandit, who was the Mahant of Radha Govinda temple at that point. And so he says that Sushila Sahishnu Shanta Vadanya Gambhir Madhura Vachana Madhura Cheshta Mahadhir. He had these qualities where he was well behaved, he was tolerant, he was extremely determined to serve the devotees, he was respectful, he was always sober, and he would never ever find fault. And so he says that this is the essence of how we should try to be in the association of devotees. Vaishnavira gunagrahi na dekhaye dosh kaay mane vakye kore Vaishnava santosh. We should be convinced that whatever may be the differences we may have with each other in terms of nature, qualities, behavior, background, race, nationality, this, that, but we are not here to actually meditate on those differences. We are here to meditate on one common point that all of us are experiencing. There is one thing common amongst all of us. We all of us are under the influence of material energy. We are all trapped by Maya. Once we acknowledge that, yes, that is something in common, then we realize we need each other. So therefore, Vaishnavera gunagrahi na dekhaye dosh. So therefore, see the good qualities and kaya mane vakye kore Vaishnava santosh. So therefore, we see what can be done. We respect the differences. And this is the third principle, and Srila Prabhupada would do that when he was preaching Krishna consciousness in Prabhupada's reunion festival in Juhu. Our Guru Kripa Swami was sharing that when he came to India and he started doing life membership, he went to one of the shops in Kalbadevi and he showed someone Bhagavad Gita and wanting to make them member. So that person, which was a group of 4 or 5 shopkeepers, were sitting and they started making fun of him, saying that Arjuna is not the hero of Bhagavad Gita, Karna is the hero. And at that time he had not heard about Karna and all that. He had heard from Prabhupada, Arjuna. He said, no, Arjuna is the hero. He says, no, Karna. And then it became a little heated up. And then at some point, Guru Kripa Swami said, he became so angry, he kind of moved towards that other person in a threatening mood and lifted his hand. And that other person said, "Oh, you are Swami Prabhupada's disciple chanting Hare Krishna? There is no effect on you? You are chanting and all these things, you are still becoming angry? What is the point?" And showing his fist, he said, "3 years ago, if this incident had happened, I would have already smashed you. But my hand is still here and it has not yet hit your nose. It is only by Prabhupada's grace. I have developed so much of self-control." So one goes through the process, and as one goes through the process, transformation happens. So we have to respect the differences which different devotees may demonstrate and show. And along with that, as the fourth principle, tolerate that which cannot change. Yes, we agree, this person has this nature, that nature irritates me, but what to do? Let me tolerate in whatever best way possible. And the fifth is, we have to be able to forgive the mistakes. Because to commit mistakes is human, but to forgive is the quality of a Vaishnav, and Durvasa Muni recognizes that when he sees in Ambarish Maharaj, "Aho ananta dasana mahatvam drishtamadhyame." I can recognize you are a Vaishnav because the ability to forgive is the blood group of a Vaishnav. You are able to forgive me, so you are a Vaishnav. So therefore, these are five principles which can keep in mind. Appreciate the past, empower the potential. We respect the differences, tolerate the unchangeable, and forgive the mistakes. And by doing this, we have better chances of retaining our discrimination even in very difficult situations, and we will be able to actually continue practicing Krishna consciousness process till the last breath, the way Srila Prabhupada has envisaged for all of us in this wonderful association of devotees in ISKCON. Thank you all very much for giving me an opportunity to speak. So, Maharaj is in Prabhu, Sarabhom Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam. Anyone has any comments? Or yeah.
You hit all the topics directly about, you know, like sometimes when we read Prabhupada's book, we think, "Oh, Prabhupada's talking to me," or "Prabhupada's looking at me." So if we actually think about the subject matter that you discussed, it's very pertinent that each and every one I remember circumstances in which all those things happened.
Right. Fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, Maharaj.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, sure.
In the verse of the Bhagavad, it says that Krishna is aware of Brahmas and naughtiness. At the same time, Krishna is an innocent child. In other words, he's not a man.
Right.
So is this a play of yoga mind now? Yeah. Or how is it Krishna is aware and Krishna is not aware? Of course, you made an important point.
Yeah.
We can already fully understand Krishna. So can you tell us more?
Yes. So in the 9th chapter of 10th canto, which is the Damodar Leela, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a specific commentary on this, that Krishna is all-knowing, sarvagya. He sarvagya means he knows everything, right? And at the same time, he has mukdhata. He becomes bewildered also. So how can sarvajñata and mugdhata exist simultaneously in one person? Right? So then he says, this can only be explained on the basis of Krishna's achintya shakti. So therefore, you know, he mentions this achintya shakti is the main cause, and that achintya shakti is in play so that Krishna's pastime experience can increase. So Krishna wants to experience and enhance his pastime with his devotees, and therefore he performs this. So sarvajñata and mugdhata both exist simultaneously. So therefore when Yashodama is trying to bind Krishna, somatu svinnagantraya visrishta kabrasraja, so Krishna is seeing, oh, she is tired, she is making efforts repeatedly. Drishtva, he sees that. Parishramam Krishna, when Krishna sees that, so parishrama, shrama means to make effort, pari means, you know, parikrama means all around. So shrama means effort. When we make one effort, it fails, we may give up. But then you don't give up, you make effort again. So then when you keep making efforts from all angles, sometimes one strategy fails, you may give up. No, another strategy. Another, that means you relentlessly keep trying. That is called parishrama. Right? You chant one mala, you think I'll attain Krishna. No. Chant 16 mala. You don't. Chant 16 mala for 1 year. Nothing happens much. Chant 16 mala 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. So Krishna is saying, parishramam means you have to continuously make the effort. Kripaya asit. So then he bestows his kripa. So therefore, you know, this particular pastime demonstrates the fact that Krishna is all powerful, but at the same time he becomes bewildered by his devotee's love. Evam sandarshita hi anga. To show this, to show what? Evam sandarshita yanga harina bhritya vashyata. That I come under the control of my devotee's love. So, you know, this is something which Krishna specifically wants to demonstrate through this pastime. He is all-knowing. At the same time, he comes under his devotee's love. So this sarvajñata and mugdhata is reconciled through this achintya shakti of Krishna. So that is Chakravarti Pad commentary on this. Thank you. Yes, I don't know, President. There's one more question.
One more. Next one pays lakh.
Last, okay.
1 lakh first.
1 lakh per question.
He's saying if you ask a question, you have to pay 1 lakh.
So, Prabhu, you mentioned that we should appreciate the past. So, can you please help to understand how exactly we can appreciate the incidents which keep on happening, like the recent incident which has happened in our time in Bangladesh? So, how we should have the right perspective to understand and appreciate something so much?
Yeah. Violence in this world has always been present. Even when Krishna was present in Vrindavan, before Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, Vrindavan was quite peaceful. Then after Krishna came, Kamsa became active and then he started sending demons. But none of the Brajavasis thought that let us send Krishna back to Mathura so that we can be more peaceful. But yavat ragadayastena yavat karagriham griham yavat mohungri nikalo tavat Krishna na tejana. They accepted Krishna as their family. So once you accept Krishna as your family, of part of the family, the center of your family, then you have to protect and nourish and take care of Krishna, whatever may be the circumstances. So therefore, if you see the history of Vrindavan, after Krishna departed, Bajranab established all the holy places. He established, you know, the big temple of Keshavji in Mathura, and this was like a flourishing dham. So the history of how many times, you know, the temples in Mathura were ransacked, destroyed, and again how many times it was rebuilt, that itself is a very interesting history. How many times Jagannath Puri was attacked, and how many times Jagannath temple was without Lord Jagannath for almost 100 years. Right? So therefore, temples, they represent those places where faith in the Lord can be nourished. The temples are established on the foundation of that faith. We have to have that faith, right? That we want to serve Krishna. We are enthusiastic, we are serving. Like in Jagannath Rath Yatra, in Jagannath Puri, many years ago, it was so crowded. Rath Yatra is always crowded, that hardly possible to pull Jagannath's rope or Baldev's Rath for a few seconds. So, almost for 4-5 hours, I was trying to pull Baldevji's cart, but every time, few seconds and then get pushed off. But I was still going on. So towards the end, at some point, when we started pulling, suddenly we saw that the Rath is not stopping only. And we were so happy, we were pulling and pulling for at least 2 minutes. It was a long time. And I was so pleased. Then we realized that the Pandas had removed the rope from the Rath only. We were only pulling the rope. But our meditation was on, you know, yeah, we are pulling Baldevji. So it is the bhav which establishes the structure. Right? Srila Prabhupada, you know, he came and he had that bhav, and so much of struggle has been there behind the establishment of this temple. Right? So therefore, once the bhav is there, then the temple is built and established. And so history has shown that even when there have been difficulties and attacks, and the deities have been, you know, affected in so many different ways, but it is the Shraddha within the heart of the devotees which has been the foundation for worship. Right? So, more deadly than the attack externally is the attack internally on our faith. Because when that faith and enthusiasm to serve, if the faith in the Vaishnava satsang goes away, if the faith in the process goes away, that's very deadly. So therefore, even Vrindavan, 1525, the Mughals started coming to India. And then in one sense, you know, 1555, Akbar became the emperor. That was the time, you know, Jiva Goswami, through Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, started collaborating with the Rajputs. And so Man Singh became the general for Akbar. Circumstance, situation, it was a political alliance from Akbar's point of view. But for the Gaudias, they benefited from that alliance. And as a result, for the first time, land was given in the name of the deities. Someone who does not have faith in deities donated land in the name of the deities through the intermediary, the Rajputs. So then finally in 1575, Man Singh started building the Govindadev temple on the instruction of Jiva Goswami. And 1590, when this temple was built, it was the most magnificent structure. And Sahasra Sevaka Seva, it is described in the 8th chapter of Adilila. Sahasra Vadane Seva Najaya Varnan. In with thousands of mouths, I cannot describe the seva going on, because Chaitanya Charitamrita was written in that period, between 1590 and 1615, May 10th, when Chaitanya Charitamrita was released by Kaviraj Goswami. That was the period when it was flourishing. And so after Akbar, his son Jahangir, he was kind of neutral. Then his son Shah Jahan. So Shah Jahan loved his eldest son Dara Shukoh, and he wanted to make him the emperor. But the youngest son Aurangzeb did not want that. So the Rajput king at that time, Jai Singh, he felt that Dara Shukoh is not treating me properly. So the Rajput king felt that the next Mughal emperor is not going to have a good relation with me. So Aurangzeb sensed that, and he bribed Jai Singh, and with Jai Singh's help Aurangzeb killed Dara Shukoh. So those Rajput kings who were responsible for building Vrindavan, one of them made a decision, a political decision, and he is the one who placed Aurangzeb, the future destroyer of Vrindavan, in throne. So then in 1670, when Shivaji Maharaj was captured and placed here by the next, you know, Jai Singh's son Ram Singh, along with Jai Singh, and then he escaped. So Aurangzeb thought, Ram Singh has made it happen. And so he became so angry, he started attacking Mathura, attacked Vrindavan, attacked Varanasi. So why Varanasi? Because that is also closely connected to the Rajput kings. So when that attack happened, the deities were taken from here, went to Radhakund, from Radhakund taken to Kamivan, from Kamivan to the outskirts of, you know, what is now Jaipur, at that time Galta and Amer. But then, that is when, in, you know, Jai Singh's son Ram Singh's son was Jai Singh too. So in 1697 to 1707 period, that Jai Singh too spent significant time with Baladev Vidyabhushan and Chakravarti Pad here near Gokulan in the temple. So there is a place near Chirghat called Jai Singh Ghira. That's where he was staying. Govindadev appeared in his dream and said, "You have made me leave my own palace, which is Govindadev temple, and I am roaming around. You are sitting in my dham in a palace. Is this just?" So when, you know, Jai Singh heard that from the Lord in the dream, immediately he instructed all of his master planners to start creating a master plan for an entire city. And so the master plan for the city of Jaipur was passed and finalized here near Chirghat in Jai Singh Ghira. And so in 1713, deities of Govindadev came on the outskirts, and he installed first the deities, and the city construction began. And for 14 years that city was being constructed, and then the deities were installed, and the city was... So the Jaipur city was created specifically so that, you know, our Radha Govindadev could come. So therefore also they changed the design of the temple. Previously when they saw Govindadev, Madan Mohan, all large structures, it attracts attention. So people can identify this is temple. So they realized the most gorgeous temple architecture seems to be not favorable for the deity security. So they changed the design and they started Haveli architecture. So if you see Radharaman, if you see, you know, Gopinath temple, it's like a courtyard. So you can't distinguish one temple from another temple or another house. It appears as house. So whatever is favorable for protecting, do that. So the entire architecture changed. And Prabhupada's one of the favorite designs was Radha Gopinath's design. So Juhu and Vrindavan, it's like courtyard, Haveli design, like that. So therefore, you know, there is enough history of how our own parampara, these were temples established by the Manjaris from the spiritual world. But as I always say, Krishna is extremely neutral. He allows everyone to play on a level playing ground. Even his own dham, his own abode, where his deities have been established by his own, you know, eternal associates, he just shows no one is above the influence of the time factor. And through the influence of time factor, so many things, prosperity, adversity, this will all come. But in the midst of that, the test is our faith in Krishna, and the bhakti tattva should not shake. So that's the whole principle. And otherwise, in a political forum, other political details can be discussed. But this is a Vaishnav Bhagavat forum, so this is the maximum which I can share. Thank you very much.